the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Christos Anesti. Aletheos Anesti. Christ is risen, alleluia. He is risen indeed, alleluia. Resurrection blessings to all of you on this Sunday of Sundays. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Alleluia. This Sunday, Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday, celebrates an entirely new possibility for human living, the hope of a transformation to live the divinity of Jesus Christ. Through the gifts of the Holy Spirit that the risen Jesus breathes onto his church, may each of us graciously respond to his invitation to live more deeply his passion, death, and glorious resurrection and ascension, and be drawn into loving communion with God our Father. You are listening to Encountering Jesus with the Church Fathers, a podcast pondering patristic commentary and insight on the sacred scriptures, the sacred liturgy, and living as a disciple of Jesus Christ. I am your host, Father Mark, and I welcome you to this podcast on this most holy and glorious day, Easter, the first Sunday. Guiding us this Sunday in opening the Word of God is a revered doctor of the Church, St. Peter Chrysologus, who died in the year 450. As Archbishop of Ravenna, he was a zealous pastor and gifted preacher who contributed significant insights to the Nicene-Constantinopolitan Creed, defending the true divinity and true humanity of the divine person, Jesus. This Sunday's blog article, and the URL for that article appears in the podcast description, focuses on St. Mark the Evangelist's account of the women going to the tomb of Jesus. And now, from St. Peter Chrysologus, an excerpt from his ninth sermon on the resurrection of Jesus, Sermon 82. Since St. Matthew has already pointed out, in the interest of our salvation, what he knew about the Lord's resurrection, today let us also hear what Blessed Mark has to say. And when the Sabbath had passed, he says, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices in order to come and anoint him. In this text, the women hasten with feminine devotion. They bring to the tomb not faith in the one who is alive, but ointments for one who is dead. And they prepare for the duties of mourning for one who is buried, instead of preparing for the joys of divine triumphs for one who is risen. Woman, Christ accepted death so that death would die. Christ, by being killed, killed what was killing everyone. Christ entered the tomb in order to open up hell. So having abolished the authority of Tartarus, having destroyed the prison of hell, and having annihilated the very power of death, Christ now should not be anointed as a dead man, but should be adored as victor. The women stay up all night, keep vigil, do without sleep. They enter the darkness as dawn begins to burst forth, whereby it seems that they find the light to be dim in their heart, no less than for their body. And very early in the morning, it says, they came to the tomb as soon as the sun had risen. If very early in the morning, then how is it that the sun had just risen? Does the evangelist thus not know what he is saying? The evangelist knows what he is saying, but he does not know what the one who has not learned hears. This narrative is not erroneous, but true, and it does not suffer from a lapse in human speech, but reveals the truth of heavenly accomplishments. He had said, "From noon until 3 PM, it became dark." Therefore the sun, which had departed at the hour when the Lord began to suffer the passion, came to meet him ahead of time when he rose, in order to die with its creator. It had put to death its own midday brightness, and in order to rise with its creator, it vanquished the darkness and burst forth before dawn. Very early in the morning, because the sun then came out in order to make it morning, and the same sun that had fled before nightfall now came ahead of time to put the night to flight, so that the night would restore to light the hours which it had usurped in the terror of the Lord's passion. They were saying to one another, it says, "Who will roll back the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" From the entrance of the tomb or of your heart? From the tomb or from your eyes? Women, your heart has been bolted, your eyes have been shut, and you do not see the glory of the opened tomb. If you wish to see, pour the oil not now on the Lord's body, but to illumine your heart, so that there may be made visible by the light of faith what is concealed in the darkness of unbelief. And when they looked up, it says, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large indeed. Certainly, large and very large, and larger now in merit than in size, since it was big enough to conceal and to reveal the body of the Creator of the world. And when they had entered the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right, clothed in a white garment. They entered the tomb so that, having been buried together with Christ, they might rise from the tomb with Christ and fulfill the words of the apostle, "You have been buried with him, and in him you have risen." They see a young man in order to discern the age of our resurrection. They see a young man because the resurrection does not know old age, and eternal perfection is ageless. O man, since it is unable to be born, it is unable to die. And whereas it is unable to be born and to die, therefore it experiences no losses through the years, nor does it need to grow. They see a young man sitting on the right, because the resurrection does not tolerate anything on the left. The Lord knows the paths that are on the right, and then he will put the righteous on his right. Pray, brothers and sisters, that we also may die to the vices and be buried to temporal vanities, so that we may rise to eternity in Christ and be found worthy of being placed on His right and hearing, "Come, blessed of my Father, receive the kingdom which has been prepared for you from the beginning of the world." Clothed in a white garment, this garment is not from the fleece of sheep destined to die, but from the living power glowing with heavenly light. Not with any earthen colors and made bright by the favor of the Creator, not by the skill of a fuller, as the prophet says, wrapped in light as with a robe. And concerning the righteous, then the righteous will shine like the sun. The earthly are covered with earthly clothes, and so just as they glisten when they are new, so they become dirty when they grow old. But the heavenly are clothed in a garment of heavenly light and raised above the filth on earth. They do not ever become soiled with the passing of years, nor do they lose their luster because of any stain. But once the resurrection provides the clothes, they are worn in everlasting light. Saint Peter Chrysologus, pray for us. Let us pray. O God, who on this day, through your only begotten Son, have conquered death and unlocked for us the path to eternity, grant, we pray, that we who keep the solemnity of the Lord's resurrection may, through the renewal brought by your Spirit, rise up in the light of life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go and announce the gospel of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia.